And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's what God's word says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If faith is that important, we should make sure we understand what faith is. If faith is that important, we should make sure we understand what faith is. This is the third in the series of faith that we've talked about. Just the third week we've talked about faith. The first week we defined faith as being conviction, commitment, and conduct. And we said that faith always involved all three: conviction, commitment, and conduct. Sometimes the Bible emphasizes one part when it's talking about faith, sometimes another part, but all three are always involved: conviction, commitment, and conduct. That's biblical faith, that I am convicted what the Bible says is absolutely true. I am committed to it. It has made a difference in my life. And result of being convicted and committed, then my conduct is dictated by that faith. Then the next week we looked at Hebrews 11, 4, 5, and 7 and talked about three people and said they illustrated three aspects of faith. We talked about Abel and Abel worshiping. And we talked about Enoch, and we talked about Enoch walking. And we talked about Noah, and we talked about Noah working. So it was faith worshiping, faith walking, and faith working. The worshiping part, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He worshiped God in the way that God prescribed for him to worship. He worshiped God in a way that was acceptable to God. And if we have faith in God, we need to worship. We need to worship God. That's a part of our faith commitment to him. We worship him. And then Enoch, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God and he was no more. I tell you the story about the little boy who went home from Sunday school, and the parents asked him, "What did you study in Sunday school? What did you study in Sunday school?" And the little boy said, "We studied about Enoch. One day he went walking with God and he never came back." One day he went walking with God and he never came back. And you as I, as Christians, if we have faith in God, we spend time with God. We spend time communing with God. And then Noah, God told Noah to build an ark. As far as I know, it had never rained before, and Noah built an ark on dry land. He did what God said to do, was a basis of faith. He had no other evidence that he should be doing that, except God said, do it. So we've talked about one definition of faith being conviction, commitment, and conduct. We've talked about faith being illustrated by worship, walking, and working. And Hebrews 11:1 illustrates faith, or demonstrates faith, or defines faith, or describes faith. It's saying that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we need to understand, we need to try to understand what faith is. Faith is conviction, commitment, conduct. Faith is worshiping God and walking with God and working for God. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. And today I want to talk about something that I very seldom do in my sermons. When I was in Bible college, I took 2.5 years of Greek. And I always joke about the fact I took 2.5 years of Greek and still don't know any Greek, but anyway. The fact of it is, you had to be pretty dumb to take 2.5 years of Greek and not know anything. I mean, you got to learn something. I passed. I even passed with good grades. And so I want to teach you something about Greek. Okay? I want to teach you something about Greek. And you can go home and check with your experts or look it up on the internet or whatever you want to do. But I want to teach you just one thing, because I think knowing Greek does not, you don't know anything different about the Bible, but you do go deeper. It's not different from just reading my English Bible, but it is much deeper than when I'm just reading my English Bible. What I want to teach you about Greek is the meaning of the present tense in Greek. In English, the tenses has to do with time. The primary emphasis of tenses is time. Past tense is past time, right? Future tense is future time. Present tense is present time. Say, I didn't do very good in English, but I know that, right? I hope that's right. Well, in Greek, it has to do with time, but that's not the emphasis. In Greek, the emphasis is not on the time, but it's on something else. It's on some other aspect of what's going on. It's a characteristic. The Greek present tense does mean that it's going on right now. It's in the present tense. But the primary thing is that it is a continual thing. It is a continual thing. So we're talking about not so much the time of the issue, but the trait of the issue, what it's like, the characteristics. And in Greek, the present tense has to do with linear action. It's an ongoing thing. It's not something that just happened one time. It's an ongoing thing. It's a continual thing. It's a repeated thing that goes on and on. So when the Bible says something is in the Greek in the present tense, it's a continual thing, not just something that happened one time. Now, I want to stop and say, because I like to teach instead of preach, I want to stop and say, you understand what I just said? that the Greek... It's not so much the time, it's the characteristic of the issue. So the Greek present tense is a continual issue. Not just the present time, but it's an ongoing, continual issue. What I want us to do is to look at three or four Bible passages, and I want to talk about the importance of knowing that these issues are in the Greek present tense. So let me say again, in Greek, the idea of the present tense is the kind of action, not so much the time of the action. It's the kind of action, not so much the time of the action. In present tense, the kind of action is ongoing, continual. It's something that's going on. Not just something that's happening right now, but it's something that's going on. So the Greek present tense means it's an ongoing thing. Everybody at least understand. Everybody got what I said. You may go home and study on it and find out you don't agree with me, but at least you understand what I said. That the Greek present tense means it is a linear action, not a point action. It's linear action, not a point action. It is something that I am doing as opposed to something I just do one time. Okay? Now I want you to look at your Bible, and I hope you open your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible, pull the one out of the pew rack in front of you. All the passages are going to be from the Gospel of John. All the passages are going to be from the Gospel of John. And I want you to look, first of all, at the most familiar passage in the whole Bible, I guess, John 3:16. And again, when you know Greek, you don't have a different meaning, you just have a deeper meaning. You don't have a different meaning, you have a deeper meaning. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The God of the universe, the one true living God, the one eternal being, the one uncaused cause, the one being that has always existed, that God loved the world. That God loves you and me. He cares about what happens in our life. God loves us. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son is Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, hang it right there. Okay, stop right there. Stop right there with the word believes. Whoever believes in him. Who's the him? Jesus. Okay, the believe here is in the present tense. And in the Greek, the main emphasis is not that it's happening right now. The main emphasis is that is ongoing. It is a continual thing. It is not something that just happened one time. It is something that continues to happen. So whoever is believing in Jesus, whoever is believing in Jesus, whoever is continuing to believe in Jesus, not that he believed in Jesus one day, 20 years ago, one night in church, and he walked out, that he believed in Jesus at that point, and that's all of it. No, in the Bible, in John 3:16, to believe in Jesus means that I am believing in Jesus. It is an ongoing thing. It's the kind of action, more important than the time of the action. It is ongoing. If it is ongoing, it is still present time, right? So time is involved in it, but the emphasis is on the fact that it's an ongoing process, not just a one-time event, but an ongoing thing. So whoever is believing in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever is believing in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. The person who continues to believe in Jesus. Not the person who just had some kind of emotional experience one night in a revival meeting. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a person who continually is believing in Jesus. Over and over and over and over. All the time. He's continuing to believe in Jesus. He always believes in Jesus. He's believing in Jesus. And if he's believing in Jesus, then he does not perish, but he has eternal life. Flip over to John 5. John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Jesus is speaking, 5:24. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. He who hears my word, hears is in the present tense. So what does that mean? It's an ongoing thing. It's not that I just heard God's word one time. I continually hear God's word. I'm hearing God's word. So he who hears my word, and this is Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, believes is in the present tense. So it means that the person who is hearing Jesus speaking and is believing in God. It's an ongoing, continual process. Not just a one-time event, but an ongoing thing. So to have faith in God does not mean that one day, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I had an experience in which I believed in God that day. And done the thing since then, but that day I believed in him. Now it's an ongoing to believe over and over and over and over, all the time, repeatedly believe. So I need to hear God's word, hearing it, and I need to believe it. I need to believe that God exists. Okay. Now I want you to look at John 8, 31 and 32. And I threw this one in because just in case you don't know Greek, I just threw this in and said, this will prove my point, even if you don't agree with the other stuff. Okay. So this doesn't have believe in the present tense in it. Okay. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus was talking to Jews who had believed him. That, in the Greek, that word believed is not in the present tense. It's in the perfect tense. Some of you said, okay. But in the present tense, the perfect tense, it means that something that happened in the past and it affects continues. Something that happened in the past and the effects continue. So this isn't the perfect tense. These Jews had believed in Jesus. So Jesus said to the Jews who had at one point in the past believed in him, listen to me. If you don't know Greek, you don't have to know Greek. This passage has nothing to do with that. Just listen. What did Jesus say? You have believed in me. Now what? If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. So I have to continue. It's not something I do one time and stop. I have to continue. If you can continue in my word, then you're true disciples of mine. A disciple is the same thing as a Christian. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, according to Acts 11:26. So a disciple is a Christian. And so am I going to be a Christian or not a Christian? What do I have to do according to this text? I have to continue in his word. I have to continue in his word. How about if I'm going to be a true disciple? What's the opposite of being a true disciple? Being a false disciple, okay? So I don't want to be a false disciple. I don't want to be a false Christian. And if I'm going to be a true disciple, what do I have to do? Tell me. I have to continue in his word, right? So that's what he says. So that agrees with the idea of the Greek present tense that believing in Jesus is an ongoing, continual process. John 3:16, to believe there is in the present tense. I have to continue to believe in Jesus. John 5:24, I have to continue to believe in Jesus. John 8:31-32, if I believe in Jesus, something that happened to me in the past, if I do that, I have to continue in his word. Now, let's take one controversial passage, and then we'll be through. One controversial passage. John 10. John 10:27-28. John 10:27-28. Anybody got a red letter edition? Can you tell me who's speaking? Jesus. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life with them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Now, the controversy there is that there are disagreements among Christians of whether a person can lose his salvation or not. In fact, can I be a Christian and be saved and reach a point that I'm not a Christian and I lose my salvation? I want to talk about what this passage says and this passage adds to that discussion. And I want you to look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Guess what tense here is in? Present. It's in the present tense. What does that mean? It's an ongoing, I am hearing the voice of Jesus. I am hearing the voice of Jesus. Not that I heard it one time, I'm hearing it. It's an ongoing process. I'm continuing to listen to what Jesus says. Over and over, I'm continuing to listen to what he says. So my sheep are hearing my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Guess what tense follow is in? Present tense. So the people we are talking about in verse 28 are the people who are described in verse 27. The people we are talking about in verse 28 are the people who are described in verse 27. The people described in verse 27 are the people who are hearing the voice of Jesus and are following Jesus. They are following. They continue to follow Jesus. They are continuing to hear Jesus and to follow Jesus. Whether you agree with me or not, does what I just said make sense? Do you see that? They are hearing and they are following Jesus. For those people who are hearing Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus said, I give eternal life to them and they shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. He's talking about people who are following Jesus. And if I'm following Jesus, I will not lose my salvation. He does not talk in this passage about people who followed Jesus for a certain period of time and then stopped following Jesus. I personally believe those people are lost. The Bible records three different times in which Jesus said, you must remain faithful until death. Three different times in which Jesus said it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says to the church that they must remain faithful unto death. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, all teach that you can lose your salvation. But in this particular passage, he doesn't talk about losing your salvation. He talks about keeping your salvation. Okay? He doesn't talk about losing your salvation. He talks about keeping your salvation. And who are the ones who keep their salvation? The ones who are hearing Jesus and following Jesus. So my faith has to continue. My faith has to continue. It's faith, saving faith is faith that continues, not faith that started and lasted 10 years. It is faith that continues. And if my faith continues, if I'm continuing to follow Jesus, I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. I have security. I have security. It is conditional security, conditioned on the fact that I'm following Jesus. But as long as I'm trusting Jesus, I have it and I can't lose it as long as I'm following Jesus. Now, don't get hung up on the controversy part. What I want you to get hung up on is that saving faith is something that's continual. It goes on and on and on. It is not a one-time experience. Now, we do talk about sometimes somebody put their faith in Jesus when they became a Christian. And that's okay to talk about that, but sometimes when we talk about it in that way, we give the impression that having faith in Jesus is just something I did one time. I didn't believe in him, and then I believed in him, and man, I don't know. In the Bible, saving faith is something that just goes on and on and on. It's a continual thing. It lasts my whole life. I am having faith in Jesus. I am believing in Jesus. And if I am believing in Jesus, I have eternal life and I will never lose it because I am trusting him. I'm relying upon him and he's the one who saves me. Faith, biblical saving faith, is something that continues. Biblical saving faith is something that continues. Not something that I had for a short period of time and then lost it. Something that I did for a short period of time and stopped. Saving faith goes on and on and on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever is believing in him, in Jesus, has eternal life. So it's important that I understand that faith is an ongoing relationship with God, not something that just happens one time. Faith is an ongoing thing. In my own life, I'm not sure I could prove this biblically, but in my own life, it has not always been smooth. Sometimes the faith weakens a little bit. But it needs to continue. It needs to continue. It's an ongoing process. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever is believing in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life.